Welcome to the podcast and our special holiday episode here on Cosmic Crit. This is your GM, Patrick, and joining me in shooting lasers and talking about their feelings this week in a sci-fi one-off adventure are four of my very good friends, Drew, Jabert, Rebecca, and Tyler. Hey, folks, happy holidays.
Greetings.
Hello.
Happy.
It feels very weird to say hello to you guys after we've been just talking for like an hour before we hit the record button. It's like, now we can start.
What about that?
Yes.
It would be a little less fun if you were like, hey, everybody. And also, I'm already exhausted. I've had to listen to these four for an hour.
That's what I'm saying right now. But besides that being a little out of sync, this episode is a little out of sync with our regularly scheduled programming, mostly because Miles is off visiting some family. He's taking a little trip, but we are recording this a few weeks before we usually take a bit of a holiday break. I don't know how long it'll be this year, but this will be coming out and will be our Christmas special. And we've had a tradition for 7 years now since the podcast started of doing a kind of silly one-off Starfinder adventure on or about the Christmas special around this time every year. And almost every single year, it is thrown together at the last minute. Very little prep time. You all
you're hearing it right now in real time as you hear my clickety clack on my keyboard.
I was about to say, let me finish writing this. But no, you guys don't get really much prep at all. And that is not changing this year that much. But I did want to start perhaps a new podcast tradition with our holiday episodes instead of just doing Starfinder for both the Patreon and for here our main feed. Give folks a holiday treat in the form of a new one-off of a different TTRPG experience, a different game or different kind of mode. We are in still sci-fi territory this year, but are you guys ready to talk about the game that we're playing this week?
Very much so.
Oh yeah,
let's do it.
I found out about this, and I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before. I run a tabletop game group for teens as a young adult librarian, and I started printing off, just to sate their appetite, a whole bunch of very small and sometimes even one page RPGs. Tabletop RPGs. And a few weeks back, I played one called Honey Heist, which is a hack of another single page TTRPG called Lasers and Feelings, which is a Star Trek like very simple RPG that looks like a lot of fun. And I suggest those of you that are listening out there that want to check it out, just Google it. You can find it. It is a game thrown together by, well, it's based on the music of a band called The Double Clicks, who I've known for many, many years. It's a game by John Harper. And you can find it on his page. Pay whatever you want to download it and play it in a very short amount of time, like zero prep kind of tabletop RPG if you really wanted. Before this last week, when I said this is what we were doing, had you guys heard of Lasers and Feelings before?
I'd heard of lasers and feelings, but I've never heard of lasers and feelings.
Yeah, I've heard about having feelings for lasers. Does that count?
Does it count if I have intense feelings for lasers? Mostly heat. Heat is a feeling that I feel from lasers.
Laser indifference. You know, I don't think I own a laser pointer.
Blindness
Whatever.
Is a feeling that I feel from lasers.
We have cats, so we definitely have laser pointers.
Inability to fly a plane.
And speaking of cats, I think we've seen the Double Clicks live because one of them played that.
We have
cat, played the cat
at Dragon
keyboard.
Con. Yep. Yep. I knew that band name sounded familiar. I was like, I feel like I know who he's talking about. Yeah.
I think I saw them at PAX one year. They're a very fun duo. And I think they do have a song, I believe, called Lasers and Feelings. But yeah, this is a very fun kind of Star Trek-like universe that we're going to be inhabiting this week. Rules are super simple. We're going to go over them right now as part of this character creation process. Hopefully not going to take up even like 1% of this episode's runtime. You have one stat in this game, one ability, you know, one number that you have to keep track of. And that stat is lasers and feelings. It is one number that is for both of them. And you guys all are going to just pick one number between 2 and 5. So it's you're picking 2, 3, 4, or 5, which is very, very simple. If you have a low number, like if you pick 2 or 3, you are a very charismatic or highly emotional, perhaps an impassioned character who kind of wears their heart on their sleeve, because you are looking to roll over your number whenever you do a feelings roll. So feelings roll could be anything from a charisma check in other games, or diplomacy, or, you know, investigating what people are saying to you, that kind of thing. I think Deanna Troi from The Next Generation would be a 2, for example, and maybe Riker like a 3.
But the other half, can you be a 1 or a 5? Or
you cannot. It's a great question, because there's always a chance for a failure, because we are rolling D6s. So
I see.
If you are a 2, though, a roll of a 2 on a feelings check is a success for you. And I'll get a little more into that in a second. But the other side of the coin, the same stat is the laser side. And if you're a high number, like 4 or 5, you are extremely technical, proficient, trained, calculating. You are a science nerd if you use the laser stats, and you are trying to roll under your number for those skills. So if you have a 5, you are trying to roll 5 or lower when you make like a mechanics check to repair the engine room. Data from Star Trek, in my mind, is a 5. Very scientific, not very good at the feelings. And then someone like Geordi would be like a 4. So he'd be like below Data, but, you know, he could be a 5 too. I don't really know, but I mean, that's a good example.
Geordi has feelings, but he's rarely good at expressing them well.
Exactly.
At least when it comes to his love life.
Exactly. Ooh. Gets a little foot in mouth. So yeah, that's what you're trying to roll for. Everything is going to boil down to one of those two, basically a skill check. When you roll your exact number, so say your character has a 3 for lasers and feelings. When you roll 3 exactly, you get a success with a little sauce on it, which means you get a little more insight into whatever you're rolling. And yeah, if you just roll under it, then you get a success. If you roll over it or under it, depending on what you're rolling, and it counts as a failure, then something bad happens. Oh, if you get 1 success, you get a success, but like a complication. 2 is a normal success, and 3 is like a crit success. We'll talk about rolling multiple dice in a minute here. But yeah, rolling your exact number is called lasered feelings. And basically, whenever you come up against a situation where there's a potential for an interesting failure or some kind of extra success as an option, we're going to roll a D6 and do one of those 2 stats. If you, before you make the roll, you're prepared for it, like say you spent time creating a device to aid you in some mechanical endeavor, or you researched an alien language before attempting to communicate, then you can count as being prepared for the role. And being prepared for the role gets you an additional D6 when you roll. So you're going to roll 2D6 instead of 1D6. And then we just take the better of your 2 rolls for that. And then the third way you can roll something is you can also be an expert in the field that you're rolling. So if you are like the ship's counselor, for example, and you're attempting to console a fellow ship, you are considered an expert on the role, and you get to roll an additional D6. So the most you can really roll is 3D6. There's also a way to aid your fellows by helping them, and that can also give you an additional roll if they succeed. And yeah, like I said, if you roll a failure, you fail, obviously. If you roll a success, you succeed, but there's some kind of caveat or trick. So one success is good, but it usually will come with a complication or limitation. 2 or 3 are successes with flying colors. 3 successes is, like I said, a critical success. And then if you roll that exact number, get lasered feelings. Okay.
Fantastic.
Are you guys ready to talk about the universe that we're going to be playing in?
I would love to hear about the universe that I just wrote a character for.
Well, it is. I almost just said, like, maybe we should just play Star Trek. No, you all work for the goals of the UC. The United Consortium is a friendly space fleet that is attempting to explore the galaxy, trade freely between planets, unite peoples across the vast gulf of the universe, and make it a secure place for people to expand. You are each members of the officer corps and have access in your inventory, the same thing that every UC member has, which is a consortium uniform with a built-in vacuum suit, a comm scan, like a super duper all-in-one computer, translator, environmental interactor, and last but not least, a beam pistol, a variable frequency stun gun that can be amped up, but is almost always defaulted to stun setting. Your goal in these adventures, and the one that I have written up tonight, is to have a fun space adventure. And your other goal is to use one of the two main modes of play, whether that be rational, calculating, scientific thoughts, or, you know, wearing your heart on your sleeve and expressing your morals in an interesting way. I think those two expressions of humanity are very much at the core of hopeful science fiction. So, and that's what Star Trek's based on. And that's what I feel like that we're getting with Lasers and Feelings. Let's talk a little bit about your characters. Making a character in Lasers and Feelings, besides picking that number, which I talked about, you're basically kind of just picking a style for your character, a role on the ship, and then maybe a cool space name. And that's all I gave you as far as homework for playing this game. Does anybody want to talk about who they've made for tonight first?
Yeah, I can go first. So I got the numbers mixed up when I picked my number. I just rolled a okay. D6 and I rolled a 1 and I said, okay, I'm very something. So I originally wrote my character as being very strong, and I was Darlork, Dark Lord. But then you told me it was actually the other way. I was like, oops, I gotta be the other person. I'm Darlork. I'm the person who's lusting after Darlork. I'm Greg Darklord. I'm a poet. I'm a poet at heart. Down to my soul, I'm a lyricist of the highest caliber, and I boost morale about the ship. I presume we're on a ship.
Yes, you guys are the sea officers of the ISS Raptor, the Interstellar Scout Ship.
Oh yeah, that's me, and I boost morale everywhere I go, and it's everyone really likes poetry, and so that's what I do. I do poetry all the time. I always rhyme all the time.
I've written down Greg Darklord, comma poet. What do you do on the ship?
I usually just rhyme and like help people when they're having problems, usually through rhyme.
Sounds like an envoy.
Sometimes I have to rhyme.
I'm writing down poet envoy.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Oh boy rhymes with envoy. So there's a free couplet for you.
I don't promise to rhyme all the time, but when I do, it'll usually be rhyming rhyme with time.
So you're going with 2 as your lasers and 2. Feelings number?
Yeah, right. Since I couldn't pick 1, I'm going to go 2.
Okay. Got it. Craig Darklord, poet on. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. I also picked 2 for my number.
I like it.
So what if we have all soft boys? Let's go.
So I am playing the savvy explorer, Flit Shutterstock, who is an explorer on the ship, and he's been out in the world for a long time, gang, and he just wants to get home. Just want to go home.
So you're the red shirt that they send down to explore every planet. you're on the away teams always.
You know, he's got to be in the family business, taking those pictures, bringing them back, and
he's come back every time. Yes. And this time will surely be no different.
You realize on his last mission, it's like, oh, I kind of stained my shirt. It's not fully red. It's a little crimson. Okay, Flint Shutterstock.
Flit.
Flit. Thank you. Flit.
lit. Okay. Awesome. And a 2 lasers and feeling score. All right. Will the soft boy party continue? Tyler, Rebecca, who wants to go next?
I can go.
Oh, then that's a 2 right there. That's the voice of a 2 if I've ever heard one.
I'm playing McSplode. I'm a dangerous engineer, and I like to make things that make go explode. And I'm really good at it. My goal in life is to create affordable, explosive ordnance for all people.
I'm so glad we got a prospector.
Yay. If I were you, I'd be worried about them coyotes.
and I do reckon my numbers are 5.
Everyone has to drink anytime he says tarnation. So your character is not a super good at feelings, but you're a technical wizard.
I got a lot of doohickeys and scrimble brombrits and flutter snacks that I can use.
Did you say scrimble brombrits?
I got a lot of gadgets.
Patrick, I'm sure you don't know this, but that is an extremely technical term the UCS or whatever part of
sorry, Tyler, what was your character's name?
I'm glad you asked. I used to run a little company, and we had a slogan, and my slogan was, if it ain't der loud, it's not explode. My name's Explouder Loud.
Explouder Loud?
Explouder Loud?
Yeah, first name, Explode. Last name is der loud.
Explouder Loud. Seed. Formerly Chicks.
Explouder Loud. Yep, yep.
All right, you said McSplode first.
No, it's McSplode. You misheard me. I understand. I do come from an odd part of the consortium.
All right, you're going to have to type that into
chat. McSplode or X-Cloud? Very confused.
You know, earlier in the day, I already typed all this up. It's in there. I spelled it out right there in the paragraph. You could just scroll up in Discord.
I got to be honest, there. I was expecting more of a Scottish accent, not as a country accent, but you know.
His name is McSplode. You've typed up just McSplode. Is it like share? Is it one name, McSplode?
It's me. Yeah, it's just McSplode. And then Derloud is its own thing off to the side.
I don't think I'm being crazy here. You've said so many things.
It's just McSplode.
Just regular McSplode. You got it. I've also written down McSplode or loud.
There, it's Mc. Oh, whoops, I misspelled it. There's supposed to be a B in there.
It's different.
Loud, you're loud.
What you wrote before.
Hold on. I'm fixing it right now. There it is. It's exploding loud.
Okay. All right. There we go.
Having it written down will help you folks out.
It did not. McSplode.
Remember, if it wasn't too loud, it wasn't is
MC lowercase c s. P-L-O-U-D. Your first name is like...
His first name is a last name, and which is great. Okay. I'm into that. It's like in Back to the Future, like, McSplode!
And I shudder to ask this. I shudderstock
Marty
to ask this. Are you guys all human so far? Greg Dark Lord sounds like a good old fashioned human name.
Oh yeah, it's an old family name, Dark Lord. Yeah,
please, my father was Mr. Dark
Lord. Call me Greg
Dark Lord.
My name is Greg Dark Lord.
All right, well, you're human unless you say otherwise.
Human,
forever hold your peace, Rebecca. We've spent way too much time on Tyler. Who are you playing?
Okay. Well, I'm laughing too much. Okay. I am playing an android. They're an engineer. Their name is Ember 25, and their goal is to feel Christmas joy because they hear often of humanoids speaking of this thing called Christmas joy. Christmas joy. I'm sorry. Christmas joy. And
the joy of critting.
The warm, fuzzy feeling of Christmas joy. And they know what warm is. Warm is like being next to a fire. And fuzzy, their Christmas sweater that they are wearing, which reads in binary, season's greetings.
Oh.
Fuzzy is also like when you kill that bunny on accident. It's
Fuzzy.
There's our romance.
It's fuzzy. Yes, those are fuzzy things, but they feel in their robot bones that humanoids mean something different. Mean something different when they talk of warm fuzzies at Christmas time, and they are on a mission to understand Christmas joy the way that humanoids can.
Oh, we got our Grinch. We got our Grinch in the mix. Oh, it's so good. We're about to save Christmas.
I can't believe she just made Burke all over again.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do
that. How many times are you just going to make Burke?
Pod Bay doors must remain closed, though.
I forgot to write down your name.
So, their name is Ember 25.
Ember 25.
It's a super Burke.
They're an android. And they're a 4, but they want to be a 2. They wish they were a 2, but they are in reality a 4.
Character development.
Okay. I was about to say, we should probably have someone that's somewhat good at everything because 2s and 5s will be a lot of successes and a lot of failures.
Well, I mean, they're really, they have a long history of being good at lasers. They want to get better at feelings as an android, you know?
Gotcha. Makes sense. Okay. All right. Well, we've got our crew. The last thing we need to do is make the UCISS Raptor your spaceship itself. There's a couple suggestions for picking a couple of strengths for the Raptor. The options are fast, nimble, well-armed, powerful shield, superior sensors, cloaking device, or fighter craft. Have your own little baby raptors. Does anyone feel strongly about the raptors' strengths?
I feel like nimble is one that I would encourage.
A fast ship.
I feel like McCloud would want well-armed, but, you know, I can't be talked other directions.
Okay, let's go for well-armed. Rebecca, do you have any dog in this hunt? Horse in this race?
Given that we work for the United Consortium, right? And they are a friendly space fleet... We should probably be... I feel like we should try to avoid fights rather than engage in them, right?
Maybe superior sensors instead?
Yeah, that could work. That could work. Okay. That's logical.
I mean, as an explorer, I'd be into superior sensors.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, it sounds...
nimble with superior sensors.
It is a scout vessel, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to advocate here for horrible circuit breakers.
That's one problem.
Yeah, in battle, consoles tend to explode on the bridge.
I have to advocate for that
as McSplowd. I need explosions.
I love that I can tell that the two of you have not watched much Star Trek. I'm way into that. I would also be down with only one medical pod.
Yeah, but it says, and Captain Darcy's in it. So it's actually no medical pods.
Yes, pretty much.
I'm fine with horrible circuit breakers because, yes, that is something that happens in Star Trek all the time. It's like things are just randomly exploding for no reason.
Old ship. There's still
if we don't need that one,
ray tubes and some of the
You know what? My character appreciates the explosions in this case because they're like Christmas lights. It's like what you see on a Christmas tree.
I have to make them different colors.
It sparkles, yeah. And it's like a precursor to New Year's. It's like all the holidays. Like they sparkles, all for it.
Yeah. I even put little sacks of candy cane in there so that you get shrapnel with the sugary treat.
You've put candy canes in the circuit breakers?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how you get ants just in space.
They get sharp, though. They're sharp.
Very sharp.
Oh, yeah. When you lick a candy cane down, it is the sharpest known object that we allow children to put in their mouths.
I had an uncle get out of prison because he made a shiv with a candy cane.
It's a shiv that you can make with your mouth. Happy holidays.
And after you kill someone, you just eat it. And then the murder weapon's gone.
All right. Well, perfect. Before we start, do you guys have any questions about the game itself, the universe?
So many.
How many people can help on a task?
What Tyler's character's name is?
It's McSplatter.
It's changed again. We got
McSplatter.
It's under the helping section, it says if you want to help someone who's rolling, you say how you're trying to help and make a roll, and if you succeed, you can give them additional dice to roll.
Is that over the 3d6 that you can also possibly be rolling?
I mean, I don't see why not.
I didn't know if like a 3d6 was like a hard. I didn't read anything that said it was a hard cap. I just
no.
Cool.
I mean, I'm ready. From what it sounds like right now, your expert abilities. There's two engineers, an envoy, and an explorer. So I don't know how often that's going to come up. If there's like a problem with the engine room, you've got it covered. Yeah. All right. Well, let's start this adventure. Captain's Yule Log. get it, computer. Bit of a Christmas joke. Captain's Yule Log, this is Captain Billiam Darcy of the ISS Raptor checking in. Day 350 of our year-long mission. And it is the holiday season. The crew are ready to finish our final last away, our final task here before we go back for an entire rotation planet side while the Raptors due for an overhaul. But you'll forgive me, computer, if I get a little wistful this time of year, a little bit sad. The planet we're orbiting right now, designate Psi Alpha Phi 1813, known by the inhabitants as Nublor Nog. Well, see, I was last here years ago on one of my first missions as an officer under the command of Captain Bennett. The death of an ISS captain is a black mark on any service record, but somehow what happened to Lisa was way worse than that. Lisa, I'm sorry I failed you. What? What's that? No, this can't be. You can't. The playback of the audio log cuts off as we see the four of you standing in the med bay of the Raptor with Captain Darcy comatose in a rejuvenation pod in one of the two medical bays on the ship. A med tech is checking Captain's condition. After the captain's recording ended, medical alerts went off and we retrieved his still alive body from his quarters and transported him to medbay. His signals were very low. Our preliminary scans have yielded no answers. We haven't detected any injuries. There's nothing coming up on the disease scans, and we don't have any other explanations for the captain's current state. It is a mystery.
Perhaps this captain is suffering from a broken heart.
Probably not. I don't think there's anything in the
It's that the time book. Of the year that everyone is breaking their hearts.
Well, from his audio,
Jilted lovers and so forth. Oh, February. Right. I forgot about February. That's the other time of the year that everyone's breaking their hearts.
Yeah, well, it sounded like something, he was startled by something in his audio log, but we didn't detect any other persons in his quarters when he had the medical alert go off. So your guess is as good as mine, but I don't know what we're going to do without the captain. Paige, the ship's AI, will interject and say, "Excuse me, officers, Captain Darcy left instructions for his successor in this scenario where he was incapacitated. He wants to leave command temporarily to one of you four officers to complete this mission to Nublor Nog. Whoever can solve this riddle will take over the role of interim captain. Are you ready for the riddle?
Tell me, computer. Don't keep us in suspense.
I'm a few drinks in, but I'll listen.
Riddle is as such. The last man on Earth is locked in a room. He hears a knock on the door. Who is at the door?
His wife!
Ooh, I never said he was married, but that is your answer. Does anyone else have... I was going to say, please whisper to me the answers. Or DM me via Discord. What do you think your character's answer to the riddle is?
The last woman on Earth is actually a pretty good guess.
That is an answer. Does anyone else have any others?
It's a woman.
Rebecca, what do you think about this riddle?
Everyone's answers have been very single-minded and very literal, I would argue.
I'm curious what your answer is, madam.
If you have a better
mistress of the podcast, tell us your witchy wiles.
You need to tell us.
So I think I just wish that any woman would knock on my door.
Oh, heavens. Oh, poor man. Oh, gosh.
It's so hard having a last name as a first name. It's really hard, and I'm also quite old.
Patrick, do you want me to message you, or do you want me to just say it?
No, yeah, everyone else has given an answer. Do you have a different answer?
I tell a woman my name. The next time she asks me about it, I'm completely different.
My answer is death.
That's really bleak. Quite bleak, but
wow,
that is a
right in front of our captain, huh?
My feelings. I don't understand this Christmas Christmas time.
Is death very the meaning of Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Probably it was supposed to be something.
The answer, of course, the captain provided is a woman, not a man.
It's one of them womans.
Non-binary being would be acceptable as it was gendered terms that were being asked about. If you were unable to solve this riddle, you likely do not contain the outside the box and non-misogynistic thinking needed to captain this vessel. But I would like to congratulate our acting captain. Just roll a d6 here.
I am very confused. I, as Rebecca, don't understand what just happened.
Yeah, you were too patriarchal in your thinking, Rebecca. You need to get like us. You need to get like us and get real feminist-like. Anyway.
The captain's answer to his riddle was indeed a woman was at the door.
Wait, so, I mean, I don't want to nitpick, but I did just, my answer was a woman.
I mean,
true.
So was mine.
Because,
for the record,
because specifically it said the last man on Earth, and so
the last woman on Earth.
So. I mean, I guess also in
that
fairness,
seems
I was just
obvious. But okay,
you're right.
I was just piggybacking off of Tyler.
Tyler said his wife, and they.
Am I allowed to defend my own answer?
I mean, not necessarily probably there. Lisa, to be very specific. Right?
Let's see who got it first, who was the more soft boy between the two of you. Jabert and Drew, do you want to roll off for this? Do you want to do a feelings roll off?
I feel it was a woman.
Captain.
Highest? We're going for highest?
Yes, you're trying for a feelings roll.
The most successes on a feelings roll.
Well, just one d6. Reroll if you roll the same.
Oh.
I'm sorry, neither of you are experts in...
A 3 is what I've rolled.
I only rolled a 2.
Ah, oh, my.
Oh, who's the captain now?
Where are we rolling? I'm confused.
I rolled in the...
Drew's rolling in real life.
I just rolled dice. I rolled my Norse Foundry Cosmic Crit dice.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
So not only because this is just a roll-off, is Greg Darklord, our interim captain... But because, Drew, you rolled your exact number, you also, I mean, this technically counts as a success on a feelings roll and a lasered feeling success, which you also can understand. Probably the reason that the captain picked something like this is Captain Darcy is indeed a staunch feminist, a super ally, and was looking for someone who was able to maybe read between the lines to keep the crew, the flyboys and gals and non-binary beings of the rafter together if something bad were to happen.
Is Captain Darcy just a direct reference to Mr. Darcy?
I don't know. Maybe
he is. Captain Darcy.
We might find out through the course of the episode. However, I want you to know that not everyone is familiar with Victorian romantic works.
I don't know. Lisa is pretty similar to Lizzie, though, so.
Lasers and feelings.
Lasers don't care about your feelings.
Well, I don't know if the song references a Captain in Darcy or not, but Captain Darcy is the name of the captain in the game, if you're looking at the rules. It says it's just Captain Darcy, so that's
what I picked. I
don't Patrick didn't write that part.
All hail Captain Dark Lord.
That sounds real evil when you say it like that.
Well, I just said
giving me access to the command codes. Now
are you saying Darcy is a nickname for Dark Lord?
Yes, it was a clever ruse the whole time. Really, my name is Darcy Dark Lord. I wasn't Greg at all.
Actually, if you guys could just call me Captain Darcy, it would make this a lot.
You just called me Captain Darcy while I'm in charge.
Yeah, what would you like to do? Your captain has suffered some unknown fate that has left them comatose.
My heavens.
In a state that kind of feels comatose. Their vitals are extremely low, but they still seem to be alive.
I am going to dedicate some staff to keep an eye on the good captain until such time as they are awake.
Okay. All right. Well,
you crew?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking I could try to hook up a monitor to his brain so we could see what happened last.
I like it. Do that.
All right. It could result in some serious medical conditions for him in the future.
I do not care. Go, priest, and attach his brain to a scan.
I can't tell if this is a Matt Berry impression or a Tim Curry impression.
You know who it is, priest.
So it sounds like you want to do some brain tapping?
Tap
into the stem of the captain?
Hippity tap, I say.
Yeah, can I... Like Matrix's brain?
Yes, you can always try. I unfortunately don't think that's just an engineering thing, so I don't think you're an expert in this medical procedure, but if someone wants to try and aid to help.
Ember, I have a doohickey with me, and what I do here is I got this tiny monitor and I'm gonna shove a needle up there, and then his memories are just gonna come out in binary. So you just gotta read the memories and then like hollow project them so we can see them.
Perhaps his brain can help me write a good letter back home
to Santa.
My creator. Oh. No, creator,
yeah.
With whom I have a very complicated relationship. Oh. But it is Christmas.
you're an android with daddy issues? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
That's all right, well. I'll keep it going so you can see those things too, but don't forget to read the important stuff.
Okay. Go ahead and Rebecca, if you want to aid this, make a lasers check. So you're trying to roll under your score. So a 4 or under on a
D6. I rolled a 5.
Okay. So no success there, which means Tyler explode has 1D6.
Oh no, I don't get the prepared bonus. I have a doohickey.
No, definitely not. This is not something you do in your off time, is try to hack people's brains, right?
I got a 1.
Okay, so...
That is the 1, right? Hold up. Let me make sure that is the 1.
Wait, is that the good one or the bad one?
Yeah, that's the 1, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you're trying to roll under
your I'm trying to roll under a 5, so I got it.
Yeah, so that is 1 success, which means you barely manage it, and the GM inflicts a complication, harm, or cost. So as you are going through this medical procedure, shoving different coaxial cables into the rejuvenation pod, I think maybe you get a spectral image of perhaps a memory downloaded onto the ship's computer that looks very grainy. Kind of just like the basic image, and it's the captain, you know, and you can sense him like mouthing the words, what, no, this can't be, you can't. And you see an apparition, a Christmas ghost fly through the bulkhead wall, seemingly from
Marley,
seemingly from space through the wall. And then all of a sudden the captain's vision goes black. As you're watching this play out, the captain has violent seizures and jerks the cables right out from his neck. The chief medical officer is like, "Why did I allow you to do this? Get out of here!
What have you done, man? Get out! Go!"
Yeah, they're like injecting him with like 50 space drugs. It's like, oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry. Why would that man do that thing?
I cannot believe one of you make a doctor character.
I had nothing to do with this. Don't be.
Yeah, you're right. You didn't help.
These pills. You gave him all of them.
You just see McSploud's face like pressed up against the observation glass, and you just hear this muffled like.
There's a urgent communique from the bridge. Commander, officers, we're getting warning signs of an approaching vessel with shields raised up. It looks to be a Joustian in nature. Our scans, our highly delicate scans are coming back. It's the JMS Prejudicator. We need you up here immediately.
Mount the jousting cannons, and I'll be there forthwith.
Wait, Captain.
I've been listening. Belay that order.
I have heard tell of gifts given at Christmas time that are wrapped, and no one knows what's inside of them.
Mayhaps they have gifts.
No, it's a great idea. I'll wrap the torpedoes when we launch them.
Wrap them, put bows atop. Let them all know that we are very merry indeed.
But if we use our bicorders on the packages, will we not know what is inside?
That's a fair question. However, it's a risk we're going to have to take.
Well, first of all, I'm going to stop you right there, Drew. They're called comm scans, and they do more than two things, even though I only put two in the name. Comm scan is a translator,
and then scan.
And like a little computer. So there's like four things it could do. It should be called quad scan, if anything.
I'm from, which is Lower Manhattan in New York City, we call it by a different name.
a lot of buy scanners and NoHo.
Bicorders. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys head into the bridge to deal with the enemy ship approaching.
I suppose we must.
I'm sorry, I did not understand where you're going with the present.
I am eager to practice my gift wrapping skills.
Yes, keep up, GM. Keep up.
Okay. We're all just trying to live in the present.
All right. Well,
I call the present the Matrix.
For you, if you're just spending time wrapping gifts right now,
wrap those missiles in quiet tinsel. We are stealth missiles.
You guys are at about a 10 silliness, and we need you at like a 7 silliness.
All right, we'll bring it down a little bit. Okay.
In order to affect any plot here, I don't know
what the plot is. So, okay, but we can. I just want to spread holiday cheer. So, can I do something that is red and green themed? I want to Trojan horse these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Oh, we you want to make a present for them?
Okay, so that you can start planning that as a potential.
We should talk plan. To them before we Trojan horse them.
Yeah, let's figure out who they are first. You get to the
open comms.
I am misinformed. I am a robot who is just for the first time learning about Christmas cheer.
Yes, follow orders. We'll kill them first, and then we'll see if they want to deliver Christmas cheer later.
Let's shoot at them. I was saying, let's try to offer them presents explosives.
No, you're right. You're right. No, we should talk to them first. Yes.
Okay.
Open comms and then fire a missile.
When you get to the deck, there's already on the main screen here a very fancy looking blue black alien with haughty features and a fine military uniform on the main screen.
I like this one very much.
As he sees you come into camera range, he's like, "Where is Captain Darcy? I don't have time to deal with his subordinates. He must come and face me like a man, I will consider this a wartime act."
Oh, dear. My name is Greg, and I am just as good as Captain Darcy. Let me assure you, I am here to negotiate on his behalf. He is indisposed, and I'm sure I can find an arrangement with his of equanimity findings with your grace.
Are you
a grace?
I am the captain.
Ah, the captain. That's like a grace.
I am Direp, suzerain of the Joustian Republic of Nalding.
Joustian Republic, you say? Heavens to Betsy.
It sounds, Jabert, like you are trying to build a rapport, even though this guy said he doesn't want to talk to you. He wants to talk to Darcy.
Indeed.
It's a feelings check. Does anybody want to assist?
I will
also give you, you already have an expert point as you are an envoy.
I'll assist.
Okay, what are you doing to help?
I'm giving a light massage.
Gross, but go right ahead, Drew. What'd you get?
That's a 6.
Okay, so success. So you have 3d6, Jabert, with which to build rapport. You're looking for multiple successes here. Right, multiple rolls of 2 or higher.
D6. Mm-hmm. Ready? Go! 6, 6, 1.
Okay, well, 2 successes is a, you know, a good job. You do it well. Direp allows you to talk and says, I understand that you in your UC ways believe it is okay for you to talk to me in place of your captain, but it is not a diplomatic mission that I seek. I need to speak with Captain Darcy. It is a private matter between the two of us that you shall not intercede with. If you do not have him here in one of your UC hours, I will be forced to take greater action against your vessel. Tell your captain that Captain Bennett shall judge his deeds.
My God, crew, we have a problem. There is a maniac outside who wants to destroy this ship. Wait, close the comms. Close the comms.
Oh, I heard that.
Yes, and them. For the Joustian warbird, I've picked powerful shields and well armed. So you guys really screwed Pooch on that one.
That will do it for part 1 of Lasers and Feelings. We will continue the obviously drunken escapades of the crew of the Raptor next week when the editor recovers from this sudden mysterious migraine he developed while editing this holiday special. Until then, Crittermanders, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Deer.